Good morning, Symphony Church. Today's passage is taken from 1 Corinthians 3. I encourage you to follow along in the Word if you have your Bibles open. This is 1 Corinthians 3. But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now you are not yet ready, for you are still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not being merely human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants to whom you believed, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw. Each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you thinks that he is wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is folly with God. For it is written, He catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. So let no one boast in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or the present or the future. All are yours, and you are Christ's, and Christ is God's. Amen. In this chapter, Paul writes about members of the church who are divided because of differences in who they follow. Instead of everyone committing to being discipled under one person, Jesus Christ himself, some argue that they are disciples of Paul, while others pledge their allegiance to Apollos, who is another teacher of scripture. Paul strongly argues against this type of strife that has disintegrated the body of believers, rebuking them for being of the flesh and behaving in a human way, to reference verse 3. Paul takes a rather harsh tone in this chapter, as well as in 1 Corinthians 1 when he addresses this conflict. What made it so important for him to intervene? There are two reasons why this divide in arguing about leaders was unhealthy for the church in Corinth. First, placing their faith in and following human leaders instead of surrendering fully to the authority of Christ was not biblical. Paul addresses this false belief in verses 5-7, saying that he and Apollos are merely servants by whom the gospel message has been spread. They aren't special prophets of their own accord, but rather, God is the one who gives growth. Paul says that this is how things really happen. God, through his truth and love, revealed the gospel to the earliest believers in Corinth through the words and actions of his servants, Paul and Apollos. In verse 11, Paul writes that no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. This is a very clear declaration to the church of Corinth that their faith has to be first placed in Jesus, the cross, and the resurrection. As a church, we should be hearing this message with genuineness as well. Consider Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. When the church is in a right relationship with God, we see that our salvation in Jesus and our invitation to become followers of Christ isn't because of ourselves or other people. It's fully by Jesus' grace in our lives. This isn't to say that the people in our lives who led us to Jesus aren't important, or that we should just do away with human leaders in the church. However, it's important to give credit where credit is due, And God is the one who deserves all glory for the salvation of man, the second chances given to us, and the building up of the Church of Christ. There's another reason why I think Paul disapproves so strongly of the Corinthians' arguing. On a church body level, unity is essential. Standing together with our brothers and sisters in Christ, despite our differences in culture, ideology, or life experience, is important, not just for the sake of sticking together. Rather, it's our unity that produces a faithful witness of Jesus' power to unite believers of all different backgrounds to the watching world. We saw in chapter 1 that the Corinthians divided themselves into camps over fruitless arguing. Some were followers of Apollos, followers of Paul, followers of Peter. What sort of witness would this disconnect have given to Jesus, given about Jesus to the watching world? At best, it would have communicated that the believers in Corinth weren't really taking the basis of their faith seriously. But people back then might have drawn even further conclusions. Maybe that Jesus isn't really that big of a deal, or that Christians are just like everyone else in the world, allied with different human leaders, causing strife and jealousy among each other. I would give the benefit of the doubt to most churches around the world today and say that many Christians, including ourselves, genuinely hope to follow Jesus and live as he commands. Paul is writing to this church not to condemn them, but because he believes that they can repent of their ways and be reformed in their faith to become stronger. But as Jesus himself warns, division is something to be wary of. Every house or city divided against itself will not stand. So as Christians in churches today, seeking to produce a faithful witness of Christ to all the nations, how can we continue to stand united? I think the first thing we have to do is really bring our hearts before God in individual ways and repent of any way that we have placed our trust in this world, so that we can see all that he has given us through Christ. In verses 21 to 23, Paul tells the church, "So let no one boast in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or the present or the future. All are yours, and you are Christ's, and Christ is God's." Today, let's reflect on and appreciate the constancy of God, who is the Alpha and Omega, and Jesus, his Son. Worldly leaders will change, and cultural values shift each generation. What a relief it is to know that Christ is the firm foundation who stays the same from age to age. Second, as Paul says in Ephesians 4, we can make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit by the bond of peace. We can commit to keep the peace that already exists by putting one another's needs before ourselves, submitting to the authorities that God has placed over us, especially when we personally disagree with them, and God promises that he will be our judge. Meanwhile, if there is peace that we need to restore, maybe that means praying about conflicts that we have with others, or putting our pride aside and listening thoughtfully when others bring their grievances to us. Just as a family by blood tries to love one another, how much more should our heavenly family strive to truly treat one another as brothers and sisters? I believe in this passage, Jesus tells us that he really yearns for the unity of the body in Christ. So as we read this word today, let's open our hearts to ways that God may be calling us to respond. Let me pray to close this out today. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you for this word. I thank you that you have placed, through Paul, you give us your heart's desire. You show us how much you want this body to be together, Lord, so that we might produce a faithful witness of you. Father God, I pray that you would speak through your word today as we spend time meditating on it and truly just reflecting on the things that we read about you, God. Thank you for giving us this guideline on how we should live as a body. And I pray that as we act in humility and love towards one another, we would truly reflect you and your goodness, Lord. We pray all of these things in your Son's precious name. Amen.